And I'm going to speak this evening on using your faith for yourself. Amen. Everybody say, using your faith. You know, you and I have got to use our faith on a daily basis for anything we need. There should always be something in your heart and in your life that you're believing God for. There's always something that you're going to be believing God for. There should never come to a place where you've got everything you need and everything is just set and honky-dory. No, there's always more. You know, I've been around here for a while, and I used to always hear Pastor Roma say, the money will come. Let's all say that. The money will come. And did you know what? The money comes. Why? Because it's a law, it's a principle of believing in your heart and saying it with your mouth. So we're going to be talking about using your faith. So over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you and I are going to please God, we got to use our faith. We got to use our faith in every area of life. Using that faith, using what God has given us. We hear messages Wednesday, Sunday, all throughout the week. You know, I listen to a lot of messages besides Sunday and Wednesday. Did you know that? That you could actually go on YouTube, you could type in Kenneth E. Hagin, and you would have a whole pile of messages. And it's good to listen because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you and I are going to please God, we got to use our faith. Using our faith is what God's word says, and he places it in our spirit. You know, I had a phone call from my mother the other day, actually yesterday, and she said something to me that really astounded me. She says, you know, I trained you guys. I brought you to church, she said, and, you know, the experience I had, you know, here she is 84 years old, but the experience I had, I grew up in a non-Christian home altogether. They were heathens. No one knew anything about God. She said her dad, the only thing he said that we knew some Christians and they were crooks. One Christian in the neighborhood and they were a crook. But when she came to the light, she says everything, she saw the birds, she saw the trees, she said, wow, everything was opened up. Well, I had that same experience even though I went to church. And so that said to me, did you know what? Doesn't matter if you go to church day in, day out as a little person, you're going to have that knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ just like everybody else. God is no respecter of persons. And he's given you faith to believe him. And you, the relationship that you and I have with Jesus is precious. Amen? Everybody say precious. Because he worked on you and I for a long time until we finally submitted to his plan, to his purpose, to his will, and to his desire. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you and I want to please God, you can't sit there and cry, oh God, oh God, oh God. He observes that, but he's not moved by that. He's only moved by faith. You know, he loves faith. He's a faith God, and we are faith children. And so if we're going to please him, then I'm going to give him some faith. I'm going to say, God, you're a good God. You're a big God. In fact, you're so big, you're bigger than anything in this whole universe. You're bigger than the devil. Amen? Sometimes I listen to Joel Osteen on the radio, and he always talks about the sovereign God. You know, the Lord knows this, and the Lord knows that, what you're going through. Yeah, he does know that. But did you know we could put ourselves in some places that the Lord doesn't want you to go in those places? Amen? If I went to the bar and sat down and had a few drinks, and next thing you know, I got into a fight, get thrown in jail, and then, you know, get in all this trouble, and, oh, Lord, why did you do that to me? Why did you do that to me? Why? He didn't even have anything to do with that at all. We put our own self in that position. But he is a sovereign God, and he will move heaven and earth, so to speak, to get over it and help you. And we got that one case in Rhema where the guy murdered a police officer, and he came out of that jail because he read that big book on faith, and he said, you know, I'm going to be released. I'm going to be released. I'm going to be released. Why? Because he believed it in his heart and he confessed it with his mouth. And when it came around, he was released. They could not believe that they released him that early. And he's preaching the gospel today. So using your faith is very important of believing and speaking. So Romans chapter 12 says, everybody has a measure of faith. Down in the bottom of that scripture, it says, everybody has a measure of faith. Say, I have a measure of the God kind of faith. You and I have a measure of the God kind of faith. The same faith that spoke the worlds into existence. When God said, light be, Bless God, light was. Because we've got a measure of the God kind of faith. That is wonderful that we can have the same results as God had. That doesn't mean we're going to be creating universes, of course not. But we're going to be able to control our own lives, our own thought lives and circumstances and situations. So Jesus said many times to different people in Mark chapter 5 and verse 34, he said to a woman with the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole. In Matthew 9 and 27, he said to a couple of blind men, according to your faith, be it unto you. And he said in Matthew 8, 5 and 6, a centurion said to Jesus, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said, I've never found such great faith, no, not in Israel. So if you and I are going to have the God kind of faith, there's a couple of principles. Number one, you got to believe. Everybody say believe. You got to be a believer, and you got to know what you believe. If you believe that sickness and disease is your portion and your lot, well, then you're missing it, because my Bible says himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. You got to rouse yourself up and say, you know, I'm going to use my faith. Whether I'm sick as a dog, I'm still going to look to God and say, thank you, Father, that himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Usually I've got a certain routine I do too when I get sick. And when sickness does come around, I have a routine. Usually I fight like crazy, and then I humble myself and say, you know, God, okay, did I miss it somewhere? What did I do? What did I do wrong? Okay, listen for a little while. He says, nothing. You're an angel. Okay, well, that's good. It's their fault. It's the other person's fault. No, it's not their fault. And so I always do that, and I humble myself, and then I take the scriptures, and I say, did you know himself? Jesus, you took my infirmities. And thank God healing comes. Amen? And it's the same thing. Use your faith in every area of life. You got to use your faith for your mind. You know, we hear lots about, there's a certain word, I can't think of it right at this moment, but people that are disturbed in their minds, mental illness, something along those lines. Did you know God doesn't want anybody to have mental illness? Absolutely no mental illness. Amen? Say, I don't have mental illness. Why? Because you're saying it and you're believing that. You know, the Bible says, think it on things that are true, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. You do something with that. You think about it. A thought comes your way. You know, we heard it said, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop from building a nest in your hair. Amen? Especially if you got a lot of beautiful curly hair. Those birds want to get in there and they want to build a nest. But you don't have to. You can knock them off and say, no, I'm not thinking like that. I am not thinking like that. I'm going to think on things that are true, lovely, of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. Amen. I'm not thinking about poverty. I'm not thinking about lack. I'm not thinking even about the spiritual attack. Sometimes people whine all day. And I get to say it right now, whiners! They whine all day. Oh, the devil's after me. Oh, the devil's after me. What is the devil so big in your life? Let's worship him. Bring him over here so I can kiss his hooves. No, we don't want to kiss him. We want to say God is greater. Amen? Yeah. Greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. God has given us authority over the spiritual attacks of the enemy. Not allowing him to rule and to reign and to be the head of the honcho. Right? He's not to be the head honcho. Jesus is the head, and we are in him. And thank God we have authority over the devil, demons, and evil spirits. Because sometimes the enemy gets way too much promotion. He gets way too much publicity. He gets way too much talking about what he's doing. No, let's talk about what God's word says. Let's talk about the word of the living God. So many cases, Jesus says, your faith did it. Your faith did it. Your faith did it. That woman with the issue of blood is so neat and so wonderful that here, this Jesus is walking with another gentleman going to someone's house to, I believe, minister unto an individual. And this woman is in her own case. She says, if I but touch his garment, I shall be whole. If I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Here she's just pushing through the crowd and she touches it and she receives her healing. Jesus, oblivious at the moment, said, hey, power went out of me. He said, who touched the hem of my garment? And the woman came and told her everything. He didn't reprimand her. He says, man, you got good faith. You got great faith, woman. Your faith has made you whole. And anytime we do anything for God, your faith is doing it. Jesus loves faith because he's a faith God himself. And when he walked this earth, he had to say, hey, did you know what? I came from heaven. And did you know what? You and I come from heaven as well. If anyone is born of the Spirit of God, you are born of heaven. Your Father is the Holy Spirit. God Almighty is the Father of you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the Father of you. Thank God for Mommy and Daddy. Thank God for John and Elsie Semestic in my case, in your case, whatever it is. And just to let you know, James Robertson, I just think of him for 1 second. His mother was raped and a baby was born, and that is him. And here he uses his faith and becomes a minister of the gospel, and he's on television for year after year after year after year. Tremendous power. God working through an individual. So it doesn't matter what area or how you came to earth. If you could be a test tube baby, I don't know. Throw it on there. You know, it doesn't matter. The thing is, you're here on earth and you're using your faith. So number one, it is using your faith. We must believe. So the first thing is we must believe. We must believe. Now, the definition of faith, there's a Bible or a dictionary definition. It says a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing concerning faith. It's a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. As you hear God's word and continually hear God's word, you're going to get a conviction. You're going to get an assurance that, hey, this is God's word. His word settles it, and I'm not going to go away from it. Doesn't matter how you feel. You're holding fast to God's word. A biblical definition of faith is Hebrews verse 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is substance, the things that you hope for, the evidence of things not seen. And a practical definition of faith is an act. You're going to act it out. You say, you're just acting. I don't care. I'm acting for Jesus. I'm acting according to the word of God. God says we're blessed. He says we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. He said that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment shall be found to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord. You and I are faith walkers. We are faith talkers, and we're going to, number one, you have to believe. You have to believe before anything because it is of the heart. Faith is of the heart. So number one, everybody say you must believe. So faith is of the heart and you must believe. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Let's put that up on the board. Romans 10 and verse 8. It says the word is near you. Where is it? It's in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Romans 10 and verse 8. What is it? It is the word is near you. Where is it? Is it in your mouth and it's in your heart? That's the word of faith which we preach. This is a word of faith church. And so that's what the word of faith is all about. It's believing in your heart, your spirit, and saying it out of your mouth. If you think that you're going to get away with saying a bunch of trash out of your mouth and think you're going to be strong in faith, I'm sorry, but you're not going to be strong in faith. You're going to be weak. You're going to say how things feel. I feel like a piece of garbage. I feel this. I feel I'm in pain. I feel this. I feel that. No, God doesn't want us to go by how we feel. He wants us to go by what we believe in our heart. And it's the word of faith which we preach or speak. The word is near you. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we speak. So number one, you must believe. Mark 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Any person, it doesn't matter what you want in life. If you can believe, guess what? It's coming to pass. Amen? It's coming to pass if you speak it and if you believe it. It's coming to pass. Using your own faith, you can do it. You can do it because God said we can do it, so we can actually operate in the God kind of faith. We can believe it in our heart and we can say it with our mouth. We can believe it in our heart and we can say it with our mouth. So what are you believing in your heart and speaking about in your life? Someone said, a great man, he says, what you have today is everything that you believe and spoke about yesterday is what you have today. Everything, even your house. Amen? Everything you have today is what you believed yesterday and spoke about it. So that should give us a sign that, hey, if I want some things to change in my life, I'm going to have to start being some believing, and I'm going to have to start speaking. I'm going to have to believe. I'm going to have to be a good believer in my heart. I'm going to have to believe God's word. Jesus said, everything is possible to him who believes, for with the heart man believes. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. There should be never a person come to a place, well, I guess I'm too old. No, you're never too old. Oh, I guess I'm too old. No, you're never too old. You're never too old. He told me before I was born again, I was like from 15. My mom took me to church when I was up to 15. And then from 15, she says, if you don't want to go to church, you don't have to. What a great mother, eh? And so from 15 to 20, I was doing whatever I wanted to do. I was cool. No, everybody who has their testimonies, they say, there's this guy, we went to this museum, just in this city, but a little bit out of town, eh? And there's this guy here. He just, you know, when you get older, eh? And he's like, oh, man, when I was young, man, I had hair down to here. Yeah. I just thought, man, you need Jesus. Because it's not about what you had or what you did or how crazy you were. There's always someone crazier. There's always someone tougher. Amen? There's Mike Tyson, there's someone tougher than Mike Tyson. There's always someone greater. The best hockey player, oh, there's always someone greater. And so, besides the point, you got to believe, amen, in the word of God. And you got to speak that word of God. Because Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes. Mark 9 and verse 23. Jesus said, if you can believe. So if you can believe, Ken, all things are possible to you. And put your name there. If you can believe, all things are possible to you. So if you have a situation in your life that is just horrible, if you can believe, God can turn that around. God can turn it around. In the mighty name of Jesus, he can turn it around. He is the God of the impossible. He loves impossible. You know, just observing the finances that have come to the church and stuff over the years, that's a miracle. Some of those things are miracles. All things are possible to him who believes. A sickness and disease has no place. If you can believe, hallelujah, just keep believing. And again, if you need to go to the hospital, go to the hospital. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. I heard Brother Hagin, the great prophet of God, his wife was ill, and he didn't want to tell her to go to the hospital to get an operation because he thought that, you know, if she did, she might die. And she didn't want to go to the hospital because she thought if she would have an operation, she might die. But when one of the cases where Jesus appeared unto him, Jesus said, yes, she would have went, she would have died, but I'm telling you, let her go to the hospital and she will have the operation and it'll be successful. You say, why wouldn't Jesus just heal her like that? Because everybody's got a free will. I got a free will. I don't have to do a thing for God. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to pray. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to do nothing, but I want to. Why? Because I'm using my faith. I believe in him. Did you see him? Well, no. Not with my physical eyes, with my eyes of my spirit. There's a lot of things going on. Amen. But we have the eye of faith. Reach out with the eye of faith and say, it's possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. I remember wanting to pay off this one thing, and I sat there with Cindy, and we looked at it. We sat down on a curb, and we looked at that, and we said, wow, this looks impossible. But guess what? It's possible, because all things are possible. If you believe, if you say, oh, no, I can't do it, well, you can do it. It won't work for you. No. You say, oh, I'm just going to, it'll be this like this. No, well, that's not going to work for you. It's got to work when you believe it and you speak it out of your mouth. So believing it is the number one. You believe it first. And, of course, this is all, we've heard this all before, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. For we which have believed, Hebrews 4 verse 3 is an excellent verse on believing. They which believed have entered into a rest. Has anybody ever tried to believe for something and then you're just struggling? Oh, you're squeezing your eyes. You're squeezing your lips. You're squeezing everything that you got. Amen. You're just, oh, I'm believing. That's not believing. The Bible says, they which believed have entered to a rest. There is actually a rest for the people of God. There is an enjoyment in the things of God. Let God be true and let every man be a liar, but he says, they which believed have entered into a rest. So you and I should be able to rest in the promises of God. And whatever you're believing God for, you should be able to rest and say, no problem. Amen. The money will come. No problem. Thank God, health and healing is mine. Jesus provided it for me. The Bible says when you pray, you believe that you received it. So I believe that I've received my healing. Let's all say that. I believe I received my healing. Amen. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ wants us to operate in the God kind of faith. And so they which believed have entered into a rest. So there is a rest for the people of God. There is a wonderful rest for the people of God. So number two, we believe, but number two, we speak and we act. Using our faith, we must speak and you must act. You must speak and you must act. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, let's put that up. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have that same spirit of faith. You know, all the people of old had the spirit of faith. I love that book in Hebrews. Did you get that scripture? There it is. And since we have that same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe and therefore I've spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. All those heroes of faith, what did they do? They had a promise from God. They had a promise from Noah, had a promise from God, and he started to build that ark. 110 or 20 years it took. All the mockers walking around the ark laughing. It never rains. It'll never rain. It's like us saying now, oh, the rapture. What's a rapture? What's a rapture? Rapture is we're supposed to disappear in a twinkling of an eye, and we're supposed to be in the clouds with Jesus. Then there's a new program after that. That's going to be great. Looking forward to it. Not necessarily want it right now. But looking forward to it, amen? Believing God, trusting in him that, hey, he said there's some kind of a trumpet at one time. I don't know when that is. I'm not speaking the revelation. That's in January. You can come to that. So it says here, speaking and acting. You got to speak and you got to act. So 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have that same spirit of faith according to that which is written. I believe, Amanda. Put her up there. I believe. Put her up there, Amanda. See, this is the way faith works. God speaks to you, but he don't do nothing. We have that same spirit of faith. According to that which is written, I believe, therefore I've spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. We have that same spirit of faith. It's the same spirit of faith that all the great guys of the old had. According to that which is written. They had God's word. They had God's spoken word. I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13. So to use our faith, to use your faith, you got to speak. If you're scared to speak, guess what? You're not going to receive what God wants. You're going to have to be bold, and you can wait till there's nobody around. You know, it's nice when there's people around and people are believing with you. But otherwise, when you're by yourself, go ahead and speak. Go ahead and speak. Go ahead and speak. You're believing, and go ahead and speak. Just say, this impossible situation is made possible through the Word of God. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It's possible. Because he said it. Amen. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Let me be a bald-faced liar. A bald-faced liar. Whatever a bald-faced liar is. I don't know. Whatever it is, let him be a liar, but let God's word be true. Because God's word cannot fail. Amen. It cannot fail. And in this short amount of time, it's 8 o'clock, so I've got absolutely 59 seconds to get this over to you. God's word cannot fail. So if you're going to use your faith, if I'm going to use my faith, we've got to be believers and we've got to be speakers. It's got to believe it in your heart, and you've got to say it out of your mouth. Continually saying, saying, saying. So don't be scared about what's coming out of your mouth. Go ahead and believe. We'll end off with Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Hallelujah. Did you know the most important place that you used your faith is when you got born again? You know, when I called out to the Lord, there was no college of education concerning the scriptures. Yeah, so you heard a little bit about it in school. But you operated in the highest kind of faith when you gave Jesus your life. You said, "Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins." And you got up from that a new creation. Why? Because you believed it and you said it with your mouth. Hallelujah. When I did that in that little place, and I thought, wow, this is wow. I thought I was just going to be quitting sin, and here God made me a new creature. I'm just like, wow, this is awesome. I'm a new creature. And I rolled my window of my Trans Am down, and I threw out some cassettes I was listening to. Just threw them out. I should go look for them and see if they're still there. And so, and then I drove down the road, and I was so happy because I operated the God kind of faith. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so if you and I are going to use our faith in every area of life, it's the same thing. It's believing and speaking. And if you say, if you got a bad believer and you're believing trash, you're believing impossibility, you're believing lack, you're believing spiritual attack. Yeah, we all get attacked, but we don't have to broadcast it. Amen? How you doing? I'm doing great. Hallelujah. Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. Hallelujah. I'm strong in my body. I'm strong in my mind. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises in judgment shall be found to be in the wrong. Amen? Let's all stand. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, say, I have what I say. I'm going to get exactly what I say. Amen. So if you say trash, guess what? You're going to be full of trash. If you say, "I got no money, honey," guess what? You're going to have no money, honey. If you say, "I got all my needs met according to his riches and glory. I've sown and it comes back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." Hallelujah. I've got the mind of Christ. My mind is a sharp mind. I've got a quick, sharp mind. I don't think on trash. I think on things that are true, that are lovely, that are of a good report. I don't think death. Brother Hagin would say, you know, I was laying there and I saw the casket come by and I looked in the casket. That was me in the casket. And the ground was open and there I went in the ground. And then they covered me up and then the fall came and the leaves came. Then the snow came, and then the spring came. And you're just thinking on all that. We'll live and declare the works of God. Hallelujah. And for somebody that feels or senses that they missed the call of God, guess what? It's never too late. Because God's word said to Moses, he said, "Moses, Moses, take your shoes off." Moses was 40 years with prosperity and success. He had everything. He had all the toys you could ask. Then he was running to the backside of the wilderness, 40 years with his father-in-law, taking care of sheep. Humbled Moses. The Bible says Moses was the most meekest man on the face of the earth. So meek, so quiet. Why? Because he got his tail kicked. Here he's taking care of sheep now. He was in the palace. Now he's taking care of sheep. Until God spoke to him. Why? Because God loves the humble. He resists the proud. Pushes them aside and says, "No." Oh, he doesn't push them aside. I push them aside. He sees them from afar off. "But the humble are dear to me." Amen? So let's humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus for your goodness and your great grace. Thank you for helping each one to run their race with patience, looking unto you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despite the shame of the cross, now sat down at the right hand of Almighty God, our precious Father. We look to you, Jesus, saying that everybody here can have success. Everybody here can have prosperity. Everybody here can live in health. Hallelujah. Everybody here can have a sound mind. Everybody here can use their faith even for others at times. And so we thank you for each one here. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.